Today, we're actually starting a new series in July called Grow With Me. Grow With Me. July 1st, if you didn't know this, is actually the first day of the new year of the SCF calendar. Our year runs from July 1st to June 30th, so this is day one. It's July 1st, and it's also day one of our ministry year and our fiscal year. We probably feel the impact of the new year a little stronger in the fall than we do on July 1st, but just so you know, this is the day we start. And today what we wanted to do was start this series called Grow With Me to talk about some of the things that we're going to be focusing on in the year that is coming up. Now, one of the things we started a few years ago was to begin to evaluate who we are as a church so that we can kind of get a better sense of how we're doing. And we evaluate ourselves, really, or at least attempt to do that, according to the things that Jesus said that his church should do and be. I mean, that seems like a pretty good way to evaluate yourself if you're a church. Find out, I mean, he's the head of the church. He started it, and it's his idea, and people, within just a few days after his ascension, started gathering together in communities of Christ followers, and we've been doing this the last 2,000 years, and all over the world, there are communities like ours of Christ followers that gather together in things that we call churches, and we've been doing the same things what Jesus told us to do all of these years. We're not really reinventing things here. We're just trying to stay true to what Jesus has called us to do. Now, if you take a look at the things that Jesus called us to do, told us we should do as his followers together as a community of faith, well, they just kind of jump off the page at you, and they're very clear. And things like he told us to worship, that when we would come together, we would worship him. And so we do that. He told us that together we should go out to tell other people who have never heard about Jesus, to tell other people who have never heard about Jesus about Jesus. He told us that we as a community, when we are together, that we should care for the poor and for the vulnerable, that that's something we should do. He said that when we are together, we should preach his word. His word should be proclaimed in preaching, and so that all of the people in our community can hear God's word to us, and we do that. These are all the things that are in the Bible that Jesus said, and then his followers follow doing, right, it's right there. And we try to do that. And every year we take those, there's 15 of them, by the way, and we look at those and we ask ourselves, how are we doing? Is there places we can improve? How are we doing on all 15? Are there some of those that we can do better with? And this year, as we start this new year, we said we want to do better at making disciples, because that's also one of the things that Jesus said that we should do. We should be making disciples. We should be helping each other become followers of Jesus. We should be helping people become Christ-centered people. We should be doing that. That's one of the things he's asked us to do, to help each other and help others become Christ-centered people. So we looked at that and we said, yeah, we should look how we're doing, do some evaluation, and then start to focus on that. Like, let's get better at that. Let's get better at being Christ followers and helping others become Christ-centered people. So that's something we're going to be talking about this year. You're going to hear more about it. We originally said that we're going to just do this, like this is going to be the focus for the year, right? But then we realized that, you know, helping other people become followers of Jesus and helping each other become Christ-centered people, well, that may take more than a year to do. I mean, the closer we look at this, we may realize, well, we got a lot of work to do here. We're not going to be able to get to where we want to be. So rather than just say, well, in 1 year, whatever we end up with, that's it, and moving on, we said, no, we're going to stay with this focus until we get it right. We're going to stay with this focus of improving the way we help each other become more Christ-centered until we really got it. That's what we're really doing here, and as long as it takes. So we got started. Now, there's a network of churches. Most of the churches are in North America, but not all of them, about 1,000 in this network of churches, about 250,000 people actually altogether. And when they went through the same exercise and asked themselves the same questions, they said, you know, and this is going to make a lot of sense when I say this, they said, not everyone is at the same place when it comes to being or how we relate to Jesus. So, 'cause some of us are just starting, right? Some of us are totally new to this. Some of us have been following Jesus for a long time. Some of us are closer, some of us are farther away. So not one description describes every single person. Not one description would describe everyone in this room in terms of their closeness to Jesus or how close or much Jesus is centered in the center of our lives. And so these guys said, and they put all this together in a report and then in a book called Move, M-O-V-E. They put all this together in a report in a book called Move and said, there's pretty much four different kinds of people when it comes to living and being a Christ-centered person. They said, maybe you could say that at the beginning, you have people who are exploring. People who are exploring Christ. And these are people who maybe have a basic belief in God. They've kind of decided that God exists, right? They kind of move past whether he exists or not. They've decided he exists, but they're really not too sure about who Jesus is. Okay, I'm good with God. I believe he is, and he's there, but I'm not really sure who Jesus is, and I'm not sure how I relate to him. But I'm willing to explore that. I'm willing to kind of ask some questions and seek that out. And that might actually describe some of us here today. We're okay, and we've decided that we believe God exists, but we're still not sure who Jesus is, and we're still asking questions about that. And we've been in Alpha. Alpha, by the way, is a great place to ask questions about who Jesus is and how we relate to him. And they said some people are maybe not exploring. Maybe they've moved kind of beyond exploring. Maybe these are people who you would describe as maybe close to Jesus. They've already decided that Jesus is God and God's son, and he's someone that I can relate to and have a personal relationship with, and they've kind of made a commitment to him that they're going to trust him with their lives. They're growing in him. They want to grow in him. They want to trust him with their soul and even with their future. I'm still understanding who Jesus is, but I feel strong enough about it that I'm willing to trust him with my life. And I'm willing to trust him with my future. I still have a lot of questions. I don't have all the answers, but you know, I'm willing to grow in this. I'm willing to learn. I'm just looking for someone maybe to help me, but I'm willing to trust him to the extent that I really understand what's really going on here. And they're really growing and developing in this relationship. And then thirdly, they said there are some people who are, and these are the ones I said misspoke earlier, these are the ones who are close to Jesus. In other words, those of us who are really, really trusting him and kind of acknowledging or maybe aware of Jesus like on a daily basis, you know, in a sense that very much a part of our lives, week in, day in, week in, week out, we've kind of moved past the come twice a year where local Christians are gathering, probably at Christmas and Easter, to say hello to God and see you at Easter. See you at Christmas. I'll be back. We've kind of moved past, you know, every couple of months, every time in a crisis, whoa, oh God, my life is falling apart. I'm in a lot of trouble. Help me, please. You know, we've kind of moved past a crisis kind of relationship that we've had to, you know, I'm trying to walk a life in Christ here, still trying to understand it, but I'm willing to kind of understand at least that this is something I do every day. It's a part of who I am and the way I live my life. And then he said, there are those who are Jesus-centered people, Jesus-centered people. And for Jesus-centered people, these are those who are in a close enough relationship to Jesus where he's actually at the center of their life. So that every decision, every consideration always has Jesus at the center of it. We don't move, we don't consider it, we don't decide it until we seek the Father's will in the person of Jesus Christ. He's at the center of our lives, and everything that comes out of our lives, every role that we have, every task that those roles require of us are like spokes on a wheel where Jesus is the center and everything else comes off of the center. Jesus centered people, submitted, surrendered, self-denying, self-sacrificing, willing to consider the will of the Father in every decision that we make. Jesus centered people. And now you might say, hey, wow, that's cool. And, you know, I actually find myself in one of those places or in between maybe. You know, I'm kind of moving along and growing and all this. But and that's the point I want to make. These aren't just labels so that we can stay there. These are just words, descriptions to help us as we move and as we grow, because our faith and our relationship with Jesus is one that is dynamic and growing. We're growing in Christ. We're being transformed. The Bible says we're being transformed into his image. Our minds are being renewed all the time. We're getting a new mind. Amazing. We're getting a new mind. And he is changing us into his very image. It's a process. It's a growing. It's a developing. And you might say, well, you know, Dale, I already knew that. Yeah, I mean, of course it's a process. Of course it's a growing. Of course we don't just stay in one place and just kind of plateau right there. Now, that might seem obvious, but as someone who knows a lot of Christians and has known a lot of Christians for many, many years, actually, a lot of us do stay in one place where we stop growing and we stop developing. And even though we kind of think, well, I should be growing, but we don't. We kind of hit a flat spot in the journey, and then we just stop there. And maybe we forget, or the cares of life or other things that press us cause us to forget that I'm growing here and I'm developing and I'm becoming more like Jesus regularly. I mean, it's what it's all about. This is where I'm headed with my life. And we are reminded it's a dynamic process of growing from being someone who's still unsure about Jesus. I believe in God, but I'm not sure who Jesus is, to move from there to someone who can begin to actually grow in him, learning how to build trust in Jesus. In the same way you build trust with a friend, right? You meet somebody at a work party. You meet somebody at a seminar, in a workshop. You have some common interests, a friendship. You say, well, let's just catch up on a beer or a coffee. And you realize that a friendship is starting to develop. And then as friendship develops, trust begins to develop as that friendship grows, right? Most of us would not trust, at least at a very deep level, a total stranger. Someone who we have no idea who they are, we've never met this person before, we have no connection with this person, we don't know anyone who knows them. We might be friendly and we might be polite, but we would probably limit our trust. And so often, this is how we kind of feel about Jesus. We're friendly, we're polite, and we're open to trusting him, but I just met you. So let's hang out together. Let's spend some time together. And like with a real friendship, we learn that we are trustworthy. We learn that Jesus is someone who can be trusted. We learn that you know what, he's pretty good. His character and his person are someone that you know what, I would trust this person. And our trust and faith in him continues to grow as we grow in him and as we move from just being unsure about him to really feeling like we're closer to him. And so many times when we're there, moving from I'm not sure to increasing trust, it's other Christians that help us. So if you're here today and you feel like that's me, I feel like I'm moving from a place where I'm not sure to my trust in Jesus and in other Christians is really starting to grow, and I like it, but you know, I'm going slow. It's others who have walked the same walk that will help us. And so often, and we as your friends here at SDF, we know that, so we give lots of opportunity to interact and come to Cafe Connect and go to Alpha and go to community group and come on Thursday to July 25th, I think that's a Thursday, July 25th, to what's going on with the ladies, just kind of being where Christ followers are gathering to learn that Jesus is someone who can be trusted and other people trust him too. And we're growing, so and moving, and we're moving from there because then we realize that, you know, wow, you know, not only are other people trusting him, and so it's not so weird for me to trust him, but if I do some things, like make some changes in my own life, that this kind of expedites and moves this whole process forward more quickly. For example, if I start reading the Bible or listening to the Bible and realize that this is God speaking to me, that I'm gonna get a download from God on how he feels about me. I'm gonna get a download from God about what he thinks about the world that I live in. I'm gonna get a download from God on how to guide me through really difficult times. I'm gonna discover that if I cast my care, if I give Jesus all the things I care about, he's gonna respond with compassion and help me to carry those things. And sometimes he'll just carry them for me. I've learned all of that. This is a Bible, if you're not sure what I'm holding up. It's not a restaurant guide to the city of Shanghai. I learned all that by reading this or listening to this or getting some or watching a video about this. But I learned all that in here. And that's also a part of how we're growing in this relationship. And then to get onto this Christ-centered living, wow, to get to the place where everything about me revolves not around me anymore, but actually it revolves around Jesus. He's at the center, not me. He's at the center. And my whole life is Jesus-centered. To get to that place, all of that takes movement, it takes effort, it takes a walking it out. And Jesus said that not only is that for each and every one of us, but we should all, the way we grow and the way we move is by helping others do the same. When I help you become a Christ-centered person, I'm helping myself become a Christ-centered person. And so Jesus said, actually, you can do that by going, baptizing, and teaching others to obey what I have commanded you. If that sounds familiar to you, it's in Matthew 28, and we read it at the beginning of this service. And so that's what he said we should do. He said we should go, right? And there's a lot we could say about going, and of course, it means literally, we could literally go, and that's some of you, most of us here have left somewhere to be here, right? We've already left. We've already gone, using the past tense there. But I think it also meant that when Jesus said that becoming more like him and growing in Christ's likeness would mean going, it meant that we could go anywhere, and anyone anywhere could be like Jesus, could live a Christ-centered life. And what that means to me is that it doesn't matter what your passport says, it doesn't matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, the color of your skin, anyone, anywhere can live and be a Christ-centered person. Furthermore, it also says to me that while some would say that Christianity or Jesus is not a part of our historical or cultural traditions, it doesn't mean that just because Christianity, which is the doctrine of Jesus, isn't a part of any people group's history or culture or tradition, doesn't mean that Jesus isn't relevant to those people or that culture. It just means that he hasn't got there yet. That's all that means. Because Jesus is for everyone. If he isn't a part of your history, your people's tradition, or your people's culture, it just means he hasn't got there yet. Because anyone, anywhere can be a Jesus-centered person. And Jesus also said that we should baptize, and that would be a way that we could help each other live a Jesus-centered life. And then he also said that we should teach each other, he said, teach what to obey what I commanded you. So I'm looking at that, right? I'm looking at that, what I commanded you. So what did Jesus command us? All right, so at that point, I'm thinking, all right, I'm gonna have to actually go in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm going to have to find everything that Jesus commanded, verse by verse. I said, that's going to take me a long time. Verse by verse. Okay, this is the 21st century. There's the internet. There's Baidu. There's Google. There's lots of search engines. I'm wonder if somebody has already done this. Somebody already asked the question, what did Jesus command to do? And they've already gone through it, and it's probably on the internet someplace. You know what? It is. It is. It's there. If you go and look, the things that Jesus commanded, boom, it comes up. There's about 50 of them. 50 times that Jesus speaks in a way that expresses a command. And here's some of the things he said. He said that he commanded us to repent, to turn from our old life and turn to him. He commanded us to follow. He commanded us to rejoice. He commanded us to let our light shine. He commanded us to honor God's law, be people of integrity. He commanded us to keep our word. He commanded us to be reconciled to each other. He commanded us to love our enemies, love our neighbor, and to love God. And he said, hey, to help each other become Christ-centered people, teach each other how to obey the things that I've commanded you. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing here at SCF. That's what we're doing for each other. Now, if I just stop right here and I said, okay, this is the end of the message, the end of the sermon, service is over, bye-bye, it's time to go home. I'm not saying that, by the way. If I did, we would be in a good place. We have already discovered that as followers of Jesus, he is leading us to a Christ-centered life. That's a development, that's a journey, that's a process that we're growing in. We've already talked about how that happens by each of us helping each other become Christ-centered people. And Jesus has already told us we can do that by going and baptizing and teaching each other, to helping each other to obey what Jesus commands. We're good. At this point, we're really good. But there's more. Because if we walked out right now, some of us might try to do that like in our own strength, right? Well, okay, here we go. You know, it's a lot. I'm not even sure I'm keeping these commands myself. I don't know how I'm going to help somebody else, but I'll do my best. I mean, if Jesus told me to do it, I'll just do my best. But there's more. Because before Jesus told us how to help each other, he gave us something that would inspire and strengthen and encourage so that we wouldn't have to do this in our own strength. Because a couple of verses before he told us how to help each other become Christ-centered people, he called them, gave them a word, he spoke to them, his word, come to the mountain, he showed them himself. They came to see Jesus, and then they worshiped him there. And if you were here a few months ago, Pastor David Choi helped us to see that before there was a great commission, there was a great provision. Before Jesus told us how to help each other become Christ-centered people, he said, let me help you to help each other. And I can help you by giving you my word, by giving you my presence, and by giving you worship. So you know that in his word, we already talked about that, there's all those great things in his word, the Bible. He also gives us his presence. You know, you're probably like me. You have lots of friends on WeChat. I have hundreds of friends on WeChat. You don't have to tell me how many friends you have. I don't want anyone to have a social crisis here. Oh, I only got 10, but anyway. All right, and you know how you have the moments, right? And then people can post pictures and stuff like that. And you know, I'm sure you do too, and this is not saying, friends, you know who you are, I get pictures, so this is not, because I have friends on WeChat, so I'm going to go out on a limb here. You guys love me, you know, I don't care, let's just love cover a multitude of sins right now. So you get these inspirational memes and banners and GIFs, GIF, and JPEGs, and you get these inspirational things that come up on Moments on Facebook or other social media, and they're usually quotes from famous inspirational people, Winston Churchill, Lee Kuan Yew, Deng Xiaoping, George Washington, I mean, pick Gandhi, you know, Steve Jobs, you know, and you get these inspiring quotes, right, from these people. some of them dead, some of them still alive, and you read them and you think about what they did and what they accomplished, and you read what they said, and allegedly, supposedly, you're supposed to feel inspired so that you can be Steve Jobs or Winston Churchill yourself, and then you read it and you go out. But every one of these people, at least the ones I'm getting, have this one thing in common. They're all dead. But with Jesus, who was very inspiring, I just had a conversation with him this morning about how to help other people become a Christ-centered person. I was inspired today about how I can help others and how others can help me be a Christ-centered person. He gave us his presence. And he also gives us worship, because in worship, we see the greatness of God. We're inspired in worship. Most of the time, life just tends to, as we march along, our gaze just goes down, 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 until we're looking at the cares of life. But in worship, our gaze goes up, 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 and we see his glory and his majesty, and we say, wow, you know, life isn't as bad as I thought it was by Monday at 3 p.m. You know, it's not that bad. And because we see the glory of his presence. See, Jesus gave us those things so that we can go and baptize and teach each other and help each other to obey the things that he's commanded. And he's also given us another great tool. He's given us this tool where each one of us can lead and each one of us can follow. At any one time in this journey toward being a Christ-centered person, I am following someone and someone is following me. At any one time, I'm leading and I'm also following. Paul would say to the Christians in Corinth, some of them exploring, some of them just beginning to grow in Jesus, he would say to them, you know what, guys, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you would not have many fathers, he would say. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. In other words, it was Paul that said, I brought Jesus to you. I introduced you to him. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Later, and that's chapter 4. Later in chapter 11, he says, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. So when I read that, every time I read that, actually, I'm always impressed by the boldness and if you allow me to say this, the boldness to say to someone who knows me and is a newer Christian maybe than I am, you got questions, you're trying to sort it all out, no problem, just follow me because I'm following Jesus. Is that bold or what? Is that a bold thing to say, you know? It's okay. Someone we know who's a newer Christian, hasn't been a Christian as long as us, and hey, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. I read the Bible, I read the Gospel of Matthew, I don't know what it's saying, I'm totally confused. I'm not sure whether I should go to this thing or not go to this thing. What would a Christian do? And can you imagine saying to that person, just follow me, I'm following Jesus. Just do what I'm doing. Bold, bold. And if any of us here are thinking, wow, I'm thinking I'm going to say, don't follow me. Don't follow me, but there's this other person who's really godly. Follow him. He's really awesome. Just follow him. But rather than be intimidated by that statement, let it be inspiring. Let it be one of those things that says, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I'm going to be somebody that could say, follow me because I'm following Jesus. Not because I'm perfect, but because I'm following Jesus. Someone to lead, someone to follow. He's got it all worked out for us. When we began this journey as explorers, let's call it that, as our friends in that network of churches did, you know, we were getting our house in order. Weren't that? We were closing some accounts, deciding, oh, that account has got to close. I don't go there anymore. I don't do that anymore. I'm going to have to, that's got to close down because I'm a Christian now. I'm following Jesus. I don't talk like that anymore. I don't go there anymore. I don't do those things anymore. Some accounts have got to close as we begin this journey. And we're also building up some trust in Jesus specifically. You know, as I get to know him, I find that I can trust him. And he's got great character. And what else is happening is that our attitude is changing. As we're following Jesus, as we're exposed to him more and more, as we start to kind of do the things he's called us to do, those patterns that he's called us to, those disciplines that he's called us to do. We're discovering that our mind is changing. Our attitudes are changing. The filter of our eyes and our ears, they're changing. And the way we look at the world is changing. It's more like Jesus. It's more like God. It's more like his world. I'm still myself. It's more like Jesus in me. A Jesus-centered life. And this is some basic stuff, but just as a reminder, you know, every one of us, every human being on the planet was made in the image of God. But through something called sin, that image was marred, it was broken, it was messed up. And that's how every single one of us are. That's how we all are. We're image bearers, but broken image bearers. But in Jesus, Jesus comes to restore that image, not by airbrushing, not by taking a little bit of paint and dabbing here and dabbing there, but he restores that image by giving us a new nature. He kind of changes the hard drive so that we really become different people, or maybe with a new nature, we become the people we were always meant to be. And that new nature is something that we're growing into. That new nature is a Christ-like nature, a Christ-centered nature, and we're growing into that kind of Christ-centeredness. And as I said earlier, when we're at the beginning of the journey, for those of us who are newer Christians or just kind of starting all this, maybe you're still a little unsure, a lot more questions than answers, we really need all that support to kind of help us and encourage us along the way. But for those of us who've been on the journey for a while and are moving toward Christ-centeredness, can I say this to you, as well as I say this to myself, that while we still need each other and while we still need the encouragement, we are past and beyond kindergarten. So it's time to hear the voice of God. It's time to hear the calling of God. It's time to discover what God has uniquely called you to do for him. It's time to discover how you and I are going to advance his kingdom. I'm on this journey of Christ-centered living, and I'm past kindergarten. I'm at a place where Jesus is increasingly becoming the center of my life so that I can hear his voice and understand how he has uniquely called me and appointed me to advance his kingdom. Me, this human being, and you on the planet, how is God and how will he call you and lead you to advance his kingdom? Because this is your and my Christ-centered life, advancing his kingdom, so that we might go farther, higher, and deeper. As I said at the beginning, we wanted to, as a community, as a church, look at what we're doing in helping each other become Christ-centered people. And it's a journey that we're starting. We want to be Christ-centered people. We want to be a Christ-centered church. And it's a journey that we're starting by looking at ourselves, asking God to help us, and then moving forward together. We feel so strongly about this that we really want to change the culture of our church. We know that, having been here for 20 plus years, that part of the culture of SCF, part of our DNA, is in community. You don't have to be here very long, and you hear it. We talk about it all the time. We heard it earlier when people stood up to say goodbye. My community meant everything to me. It means everything. That sense of community. That's a part of who we are. That's our culture. Worship is a part of our DNA and a part of our culture. We want to not necessarily change, but add to our culture. If you become a part of SCF, you are going to move toward a Christ-centered life. Wherever you are now, however long you are with us, together we are going to move toward Christ-centered living. All right, last thing, and I'm going to wrap this all up. So we said that one of the things Jesus told us to help each other move toward Christ-centered living is by teaching, helping each other to obey the things that Jesus has commanded us to do. And I gave a list of a bunch of things. That's not all of them, that's some of them. One of the things that Jesus commanded us to do was to love God, right? That was on the list. And the other set was just as important. That's number one. Number two would be, and close second, would be loving our neighbor as ourself, Jesus said. Teaching each other, encouraging each other to do as Jesus commanded and love our neighbor. And then when Jesus said this, Luke chapter 10, somebody in the crowd, maybe as it says, wanting to justify themselves, said, okay, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, you're commanding us to love our neighbor. Now, well, then who is my neighbor? So then Jesus begins to tell a story that defines who neighbor is. I looked at that story again and went back to look at it again. Do you know that the neighbor in that story is a lawai? It's a foreigner. The neighbor in the story is a foreigner. How about that? I think one of the beautiful things about being a part of an international church, this one included, is we get to learn to love people who are different from us. And another place Jesus said, you know, anybody can love anyone who's just like them. I mean, go to the pub tonight, and I don't know who's playing in the World Cup, but find everybody who's wearing the same jersey you're wearing. Man, there's a lot of love right there, you know? Hey, I love you, man. I don't even know who you are, but I love you because you're wearing the jersey I'm wearing. There's a lot of love in the pub tonight among football fans, as long as you're wearing the same jersey I'm wearing. But to love someone who is not like you, to love someone who speaks a different language, who has a different ethnicity, who comes from a different place, who even expresses their love for Jesus in ways that are different than you, that's not a burden, that's an opportunity to obey what Jesus has commanded us to do. And in so doing, find out what it means to live Christ-centered. Let's pray. So Father, thank you, I love you, and I'm so grateful for the love that you have poured out on each and every one of us. I thank you, Lord, that as a community, we're going to continue to care for each other by encouraging each other and helping each other to keep moving forward toward Christ-centered living. And Father, as the time goes by, and don't let this escape from our notice or our desire, I thank you for the community called SCF. I'm so thankful for our friends that stood earlier today who shared their lives with us. Some for a shorter time, some for a longer time, but share their lives with us as we share our lives with each other in Christ. Thankful for what we experience here in Shanghai and in the body of Christ and in your church. So Jesus, help us to be more like you each and every day. I pray in this name, the name of Jesus, amen.